Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At first glance, the story of the healing of Bartimaeus, of his sight being restored, seems quite simple. A blind man sat by the road, Jesus comes along and gives him sight. A miracle. It's what we've come to expect of Jesus, isn't it? Of course, he can do these things. Today we get the chance to spend a little bit more time in that story, to slow down, to take in the detail a little, to find more to think about, so that we might grow in our understanding of what it is the writer of Mark's Gospel is trying to tell us, is asking of us. The man Bartimaeus by the side of the road, the blind beggar, recognized Jesus and cried out to him. In that cry, he used a name we haven't heard before in Mark's Gospel, and I know you've been reading through it up until this point. Bartimaeus cries out, "Son of David." Why is that significant? Son of David's meaning is similar to the name Messiah, Christ, the one who is anointed by God, the long-expected one who will save us from our enemies. The people of Israel had long believed that the Messiah would come from the line of their greatest king, King David. So when Bartimaeus calls him Son of David, he is saying that he believes Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. Now, it's not all that long ago in chapter 8, we're in chapter 10 today, back in chapter 8 of the Gospel of Mark, Peter declared Jesus to be the Messiah, shortly after Jesus had healed another blind man. So in chapter 8, two chapters earlier, we can read that a blind man was brought to Jesus who placed his spit on his eyes. When he opened them, he could see, but everything was not clear. He said that people looked like trees walking around. And when Jesus tried again, the man could see perfectly. In the very next verse after that story, in chapter 8, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and some of them say you're one of the prophets." And then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" To which Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Are these things connected? The declaration of Messiah, or Son of David, and the giving of sight to men who were blind? You bet they are. The story of each blind man gaining their sight in the Gospel of Mark is not simply there as a miracle or wonder, but placed in that particular way so that we who are reading it are asked, along with the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And with the blind, the story of the blind men gaining sight, we're asked, "Do you see? Have your eyes been opened? Do you understand who Jesus is yet?" In chapter 8, after the first story of the man gaining his sight, Peter gets it right. Jesus is the Messiah. Peter and the other disciples have spent all this time with Jesus, and this is Peter's conclusion. Yet, it is only the beginning of his understanding. His vision of Jesus is still cloudy, like the first blind man in the first attempt at healing. He doesn't see it clearly, for he doesn't understand yet what Messiah actually means. They thought that Jesus had come to raise an army to fight the Romans. They might have expected a Messiah to do something like that. But actually, Jesus had come to die as their Messiah, to be brutally and unjustly killed by the enemy. Through chapters 8, 9, and 10 of the Gospel of Mark, which make up the center part of that Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples three times that he will be betrayed, he will suffer, he will be rejected, and he will be killed. And on the third day, he will rise again. Three times he says it, because it's a hard message for them to hear, and they don't understand. The first time he said it, Peter told Jesus, "No, the Messiah does not die." And Jesus rebuked him with the words, "Get behind me, Satan." When Jesus tells them in chapter 9 that he will be betrayed, he will die, and on the third day he will rise again, we're told that the disciples didn't understand and were too afraid to ask him for an explanation. And in chapter 10, the words which you just heard last week, if you were here, on hearing again of Jesus' death, which is to come, James and John, two of the disciples, request the best seats in the house when they get to heaven. And the disciples begin to argue among themselves. A real fear descends upon them as they sense something will happen once they reach Jerusalem. In today's reading, Jesus and the disciples meet Bartimaeus as they're leaving Jericho. And if we knew the geography of the area, this would alert us to the fact that they are getting very close to Jerusalem. Jericho was the point at which those coming from Galilee would cross the River Jordan into Judea. There is this sense of no going back. And the very next verse after this story tells of Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, which you will celebrate next week in Palm Sunday. So before the last week of Jesus' life begins in Mark's narrative, we have the story of blind Bartimaeus, in which Mark asks us, "Do you see? Do you understand who Jesus is yet? He is the Messiah, and he will suffer and die and be raised to life." If we don't see, if we can't yet understand, then that's okay, because walking beside Jesus are his disciples who don't get it. They don't see. For those who do, it's only partially. And if they don't understand, if they don't see now, they will soon, and you will soon, as you read through the next chapters of Mark's Gospel, which will begin the story of Jesus' trial, crucifixion, death, and burial, before we come to his resurrection. If you read the next chapters onwards, you will hear how awful it was for Jesus and for those who loved him. The Messiah, the Savior, sent by God, would die. That is hard to grasp. Of course it is. Yet it sits at the core of our beliefs as Christians. And we will focus in on Jesus' suffering and death in Holy Week, which begins next Sunday, and especially on Good Friday. But we must not end the story there. Each time Jesus declared he would die, he also said he would rise again. Good Friday on its own is tragic. Good Friday alongside Easter Sunday is the good news for us all. The word gospel means good news. Mark begins his gospel with that word. Chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark asks us, "Do you see? Do you understand?" And once we get it, once we realize who Jesus is and all that he has done for us, Mark goes on to ask what that means for our lives. What difference does seeing and understanding make for you? for Bartimaeus, he could see, which was amazing. And for his future, that meant that he wouldn't need to beg any longer. He didn't need his cloak anymore. Bartimaeus could have stayed where he was. He could have gone back home, but instead, he followed Jesus along the road, a new disciple. Jesus had changed his life in more than one way. That's what Jesus does. And it's what he can do for you, if you will call upon his mercy and allow him to heal your soul. Rowan Williams, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, in his book Meeting God in Mark, tells the story of how reading the Gospel of Mark led to the saving of a broken man. Actually, this man was to become one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century. His name was Jürgen Moltmann, and he was a prisoner of war in Scotland in 1945, a German prisoner of war. He, along with his fellow prisoners of war, were coming to terms with the atrocities committed by the Nazis, on whose side they had fought. They had been shown photographs of people in concentration camps in Belsen and Buchenwald, and had been confronted with all the horrors that that entailed. Moltmann had little knowledge of Christianity and no theological training at that point, but an army chaplain gave him a Bible. He read the Gospel of Mark, and he said later about his reading, he said, "When I heard Jesus cry, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' I felt growing within me the conviction, 'This is someone who understands you completely, who is with you in your cry to God, and has felt the same forsakenness you are living in now.'" He went on to say, "I summoned up the courage to live again." I think it would be fair to say that Jürgen Moltmann met Jesus as he read Mark's Gospel, that he recognized him, which I think would make the writer of Mark smile, for that was his intention. Rowan Williams asserts that Mark, as he wrote his Gospel, wasn't just telling us about Jesus, but challenging us to open ourselves to relationship with him. Who is this Jesus? He is the Messiah. What does that mean? It means he is sent by God, that he will suffer and die and be raised to life. But what does that mean for my life? It means you have a friend, someone on your side, someone who loves you enough to die for you. And it leaves you with a question, whether this is all new to you the first time you've heard it, or whether you've lived your whole life as a Christian. Will you be like Jürgen Moltmann and find a reason to live in the story of Christ? Will you serve? Will you study the scriptures? Will you tell others and help them to find life in Christ Jesus? Will you be like Bartimaeus, the blind beggar? Will you throw yourself on God's mercy? Will you throw off all that hinders you? Will you get up and follow Jesus down the road? To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.